Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Greg Rusevich. Greg was the CEO of Transoceanic Shipping during Katrina, but he has been involved on so many different fronts in the city, to include parish chairman of the New Orleans Crime Coalition. He was chair of the Metropolitan Crime Commission and also chairman of the Louisiana Board of International Commerce. He is heavily engaged in a lot of things in the city, and obviously cares a lot about the city and cared about the rebirth and the reengineering of the city. And he joins us now. Greg, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Dool. Thanks for that really kind introduction. Thank you for that. Very kind. Thanks.
Greg, so take us back. You know, you're the CEO of Transoceanic Shipping. You work a lot, you know, relative to the port, the importance of SAME. We hadn't heard from a lot of folks about, you know, port activities and shipping and what that meant in the aftermath and the challenges in the aftermath of Katrina.
Yeah, well, there are two things. One, in terms of the port, you know, the port was one of the first operating entities to come back, and really Gary LaGrange played such a critical part, he and his team coming back at the time. And really, we had to have the port open just like we had to have the airport open, because that's how goods and were being delivered, and that's how supplies were being delivered for the recovery. And so the river was absolutely critical, and the port was absolutely critical. Obviously, in terms of our own shipping activities and everyone else's shipping activities from the private sector, they were very limited, naturally, and we had to find other ports to really have commerce to use. But Newell, what it really led to, because as we came back, you know, a group of our all, you know, the business leaders that came back at the time, in our own specific spheres, in mine, commerce and shipping. But we really had to figure a way to rebuild the community. We really put, frankly, more time not only into rebuilding the businesses, and we all had great teams that did that, but really we had to focus on the rebuilding of the community. And that's really, looking back at Katrina, what was so special to me is building those relationships and building those coalitions that really helped, I think, rebuild the city at the time. Because as you remember, we had a lot of divides. There were a lot of racial divides, a lot of ideological divides. And to me, it was really about figuring out a way to move those aside and focus on what the critical issues were, and just keep it issue focused, and then build multiracial coalitions to attack the urgent needs in the city. So from the private sector, yes, Newell, I mean, the ports, shipping, my own company, we came back, you know, but we really made Houston our hub until we were able to fully bring everybody back, and which we did. But really what became the focus was really a dual fold, and it was, you know, 20-hour days, because you were both running your business, but at the same time, bring the community back. Because if we didn't bring our community back, we had no business. So you had to figure out a way to get the education system back in line. We, in my case, to really help on the criminal justice situation. Rafi was a big part of that. Rafi Guarnacci playing a role in it. We had to bring the economy back. Michael Hecht played the critical role there. All of the pieces, and then we had to build coalitions multiracially, because that we had to find ways to make sure that the Urban League and the Business Council and GNO Inc. were all working together, and the Black Chamber and the Hispanic Chamber and the New Orleans Chamber were all working together. And that was one real challenge, and one that I'm very proud we got through in flying colors, and, you know, had a beautiful spirit of working together. And it was all about focus on issues, specific issues that were addressing us. None of this historical divide or ideological divide. We left all that at the doorstep and just focused on what was the best for the quality of life for the citizenry, all citizenry.
You know, for me, from my perspective, I think there were some people that were focused on the divide. They kind of even wanted the divide in many respects. But there was no game plan. Nobody had ever gone through this before, right? So there was not a script to follow. And as people, you know, I remember being involved in a bunch of these meetings. I know I was in meetings with you and law enforcement. The JPSO did a lot for the NOPD. It's not often talked about, but it's amazing how much, you know, the men and women of the JPSO covered for them retrieving bodies, setting up the DMAT, setting up disaster mortuary, disaster medical assistant teams, and the like, even down to giving the NOPD 200 weapons because most of their equipment was destroyed.
Huh.
But it seemed to me that a lot that went on was trying to figure out, and I recall the conversations, how was government going to be financed because there was no tax base. And they, you know, there was a big concern. I know from my perspective as the tax collector, I kept telling folks, you better figure out how to get some business, you know, and micro business centers around the city back up and running so that you have a revenue stream coming in. Because at some point, that federal spigot, they turning that sucker off. And if you don't get this started, we may not recover. You know, and it was that uncertainty, not having a script, you know, that I think people were thinking out loud and some folks were getting punished for it, quite frankly.
Well, right. And the city government was totally unresponsive in the years following Newell. And not only that first year, but the first 3 or 4 years following Katrina, the city government was completely unresponsive to the needs of the citizens of New Orleans. And what happened is that it was unresponsive to all citizens. So businesses needed to have a safe place that their employees and their families could live, work, and run a business. And at the same time, you know, people in other parts of the community needed schools they could send their kids to and be educated. They needed safe neighborhoods, which they didn't have. And it was affecting everything. So I would walk into meetings, and we realized that we had to build coalitions. And I would get regularly together with Dr. Cowan, you know, Mike Cowan, who is a great civic leader and still is. And Mike had an umbrella organization called Common Good, which was very interracial and very faith, you know, faith leaders were involved, all the interracially in every way, shape, and form. So we reached out to that group through the Business Council and business groups and GNO Inc. and Metropolitan Crime Commission and all came together. And, of course, you had the same thing, Newell, where there was one part of the conversation that wanted to talk about, you know, structural racism and wanted to really talk about the historical divides. And we made a very conscious decision, all of us together at that table, except for the outliers, that we were not going to do that. Instead, what we were going to do, and we've kept that going to today, we were only going to focus on issues, specific issues that were holding the city back and fix those issues. And we were able to all come together and say, yes, this is what we need to do on crime. We have to have more cops. And so, for example, when we said we have to have more cops, there was one part of the community that said, yes, but we want them in our community. And we said, great, we want community policing. And then we said we need more prosecutors. And we actually went to Washington to get funding for additional prosecutors because the DA's office was completely, you know, there were no prosecutors. So we got funding for prosecutors. And at the same time, one part of the community said, well, if you get more prosecutors, we need more public defenders. And we said, great, we agree. Let's improve the whole system, get more public defenders and more prosecutors. So we were able to have that balance, Newell, and people of goodwill can find balance and find agreement. And we were able to do that. I think much of that lives on to today through the NOLA Coalition and through others that we sort of started building a foundation back then for. So I think that was one of the key takeaways, that when we find things that we agree on instead of big things that we disagree on, we can get a lot done. If we get stuck in the mud debating long-term historical issues and divides, we get nothing done. It's best peel back the issue, get the facts of the matter, and then go fix the issue as a multiracial coalition. That, I think, has been the key to any success that the city has had over our recent years and since Katrina.
Yeah, there's no doubt, and there's so many things that are big and better, obviously, since that point in time. And then there's still the underbelly, right? The challenges that we're still facing and some of the stuff that we can't seem to get out of our own way.
Yeah, and I think that's we're back to sort of where we were in terms of an unresponsive city government. So obviously that's front and center now in the mayor's race and in the council races. What we need is back exactly where we were. We're not as quite as severe. You can't meet the tragedy of Katrina or match it. But we're in many ways back to where we were. You've got an unresponsive city government. You have so many areas of city governance that just don't work and is not serving the people. And it's not serving any of the people. So it's not, again, it's colorblind. It's every neighborhood it's not working, from St. Charles Avenue to the 7th Ward to the 9th Ward. So, in the French Quarter even, that needs to be cleaned up and needs to be safe. So you've got these elements across the city that we had back then, and we need that playbook once again to just focus on what is best way to fix these issues, and we must have city leaders that are accountable and responsible. And you remember we had Fall New Orleans that we launched, Newell, and Fall New Orleans is a way to really make sure that the political leadership is keeping its word and meeting its promises and mandates, and that's all through coalitions and making sure that they're pledging and keeping those mandates. So we have to hold the political leadership accountable, and one more point, you have to be regional in your thinking, and we've lost that too. You bring up a really good point about the way the JPSO helped NOPD, saved NOPD at the time. And we can learn so much regionally, and we have to work together more regionally, because that has really stopped the last 5 years, 8 years. And so we should be using one another's best practices and approaching matters regionally. Every issue we approach, we have to approach it regionally. I mean, crime is just one example where technology works across boundaries. And obviously, cooperation between federal, state, and law enforcement, local law enforcement, regional law enforcement has to work together. So we need to really tear down the boundary lines and be working as a regional group as well. We can do a lot more regionally than we can in a silo.
Obviously, I think that's compelling for the next 20 years. Because my next question to you is going to be, what you think the biggest challenge is moving forward, in the next 20. I mean, I think in a lot of respects, we've moved forward. We've made significant gains. We've kind of diversified our economy. Not as much. It's never as diverse as you want it to be, right? But we've made some significant strides there. Got some big projects, not only here locally that we're working on, whether it's Venture Global or if you're thinking about the LIT, the improvements in the port. What's going on down there along the Convention Center Boulevard with that project. But the next 20, because we still have this big challenge of out-migration, population loss. I say this all the time. I think you agree with me, Greg. We need to move from a third tier to a second tier city. And that's about people. And we find ourselves in a situation we need more.
Yeah, we've lost a dramatic, we were just in a meeting yesterday, we've lost a dramatic, we've lost 10, New Orleans has lost 10% of its population over the last 10 years, which is, I think, the largest of any city, metropolitan city across the nation. Regionally, we've lost about 4%. Those are all dramatic numbers, particularly the New Orleans number. And I think there are two things we need to do, and I'm not just the only one saying this, Newell, but it's really prevalent in the business community and every conversation I'm in, is really two things. Number one, fix the quality of life issues. It's unacceptable that the quality of life issues are not fixed. And it should never be accepted to just be mediocre. So we have to strive for excellence in everything in quality of life issues. Every issue across the city needs to be fixed. There's no reason for it not to be the critical issues I'm talking about. That's number one. Number two, connected directly to that, is we need to really have an attitude that appreciates business. I mean, businesses are the ones creating jobs. So you talk about the River District. You talk about Shell that's putting its headquarters down there. Right at the center of the River District. You have Entergy that's supplying energy. They're the only Fortune 500 company that's still here. You go across the board. Yes, we need to hold the corporate community accountable, but we also need to understand they are who brings the jobs. And so we need to be very, we need to figure out a way to make this a place that appreciates business, that rolls out the welcome mat for new businesses, and that finds out what we can do. City leadership needs to be understanding from the better dialogue with the business community of what the business community needs in order to build and prosper here and grow jobs. Because if businesses build and grow, what happens? The jobs occur, additional jobs. And there's been a historic tension here between the business community and a city hall, which is absolutely unacceptable. So whatever candidate is really the friendliest toward a business is really equaling friendliest toward jobs. And you can rant and rave against businesses all you want, but they're the ones producing the jobs. So if you want jobs and you want city finances, you need to be demonstrating appreciation and cooperation.
Isn't it funny that we don't view government as a business here? I mean, because one, if you did, you would be focused on revenue enhancement, right? And revenue enhancement would be drawing new businesses to this place, having a larger population base, more property taxpayers, more sales taxpayers. Right. You would have a strategy around that. And we just have this kind of disjointed approach, and we don't want a right-sized government at the same time. So we're not going to cut, we're not going to enhance revenue, and we really believe that we're going to succeed in status quo? I don't know of anybody that succeeds in status quo.
Exactly. Know? No, and that's all the cities are making the tough choices. They don't go through this. They other cities that are prospering, you know, we're going to have a significant budget deficit in the city next year, and I haven't heard anybody talk about where the cuts are going to come, but they're going to have to really, and the way to do that, Newell, as you know, is take your priorities. We know what the top priorities are. There's been polling after polling showing those priorities. Make sure those are completely funded. Crime, streets, sewage, make sure all the infrastructure, make sure those are funded. And everything else, you're just going to have to make difficult decisions in, because businesses cannot pay and people can't pay more than they're paying right now. They're already, it's already running people out of the city. So if you look at models like Charleston and Tampa and Nashville, and we can name them forever, Austin, those cities are all growing and they're making tough decisions. They've got good cooperation between their city government and the business community. They're figuring out a way to ways to grow jobs. They're figuring out a way to grow the tax base, and they're very responsive on governance issues. So if there's something that the community, that citizens are not receiving, those city governments go in and they fix it. So they don't tolerate a street, you know, lack of street repair and not, you know, a French Quarter that's our crown jewel not being spick and span and safe as can be. These are just obvious things that are not, that we debate, that we shouldn't be debating. And so we have a long way to go, Newell, but I do think that that spirit from Katrina, we need to get that spirit back and be working together multiracially, be focused on the issues. Everyone agrees that jobs are critical. Jobs are produced by the private sector, by businesses. Everyone agrees that we need streets that need to work and drivable streets. Good schools, playgrounds. Nord is another example that's been completely broken. We have to fix Nord completely and just find the best way to do it, private-public model. And just things need to be fixed. And then, well, I think we can get ourselves out of the hole and at least get back even to Tier 2, as you said, and then we can build from there.
You know, in all those cities that have redefined, re-engineered themselves, what I think the common theme that I see, it's not always worded this way, but you set the bar and you're not willing to accept anything less, going right to that word that you said earlier, attitude.
Absolutely, and a sense of urgency toward it, a sense of urgency, pride, and thriving for excellence, and not accepting anything other than excellence, no longer accepting mediocrity.
Music to my ears, my friend. Greg Rusevich, thank you so much for joining us. Keep up the great work. We appreciate it. We are very lucky to have you, and have a great Labor Day weekend.
Thank you, Newell. You too. Thank you very, very much. You too. Thank you.
All righty. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.